Today as I come to you, the Lord has been speaking to me a word for the house, and I want to talk to you this morning about a breath of fresh air. Ezekiel 37 is our scripture today. If you'll turn there, it's also on the overheads. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass them around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews of the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. I don't know where you are today in regards to just needing some spiritual freshness. But I know that there are times for all of us that we all have our stuff in our life. And as we're walking through the circumstances of every day, we could just use a freshness from heaven for where we are right now. Our fervor and zeal that we once had for the Lord has waned. All of this causes us to come back and have some spiritual inventory and see where are we at in our walk with the Lord today. And yet, we are struggling just to go about our normal routines and make it through the day. Sometimes we are dried up. You know what that means, no word in your life. Thus, on the Bible, refusing to pray. No hope. Need a fresh vision for our lives and where we are. It may seem like your life is taking you nowhere. You're tired. Not just tired, but sick and tired of where life and what life has dealt you as a person, and what it has handed you. You don't feel like moving. You might be almost dead. And you're not just tired, but you're wore out. Where you used to have a passion for the things of God, the passion and desire has gone. In your estimation, you're not as close to God as you used to be. So let me ask you this question this morning. If you're not as close to God as you used to be, I wonder who moved. The Word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is about stirring up some dry bones in all of our lives. We need to get our focus back on God and getting back where God wants us to be. You can look around yourself and you can see hopelessness, devastation, and defeat at every turn you look. Seems you need a breath of fresh air poured out from the Heavenly Father. You know He is the one that is able to do exactly for you as you determine in your heart. I've traveled to many conferences and been to church more services than I like to count. But until we make up our mind to say that I'm here not for the pastor, not for the pastor, not for this church, but I'm here for me, things are going to change. Whoever is sitting next to you, would you just say to them, I'm here for me today? Look at them. I'm here for me today. You see, as you begin to say that, you begin to establish that change can start with you right where you are. When you say it with your mouth and believe it with your heart, I don't want to stay where I am. God has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Because of His completed work on the cross, I can be free. I can be delivered. I can walk victoriously in Him. Your posture is not much different than the nation of Israel. You see, they were down, so defeated. And when we're defeated, we're down. They were discouraged and could see no way out. So in verse 11 of Ezekiel 37, you see these words, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Even in the midst of their circumstances, it's hard to have anything to hang on to. When your circumstances look hopeless and you're not able to see any way out, but I assure you today, there is a way out of your circumstances. There is a way out of your circumstances. Not all hope is lost, for we have Jesus. What was that song we sung? The name that is above every name. The powerful name of Jesus. You see, you could say and look at your circumstances today, even as Pastor Angelo is singing about there is healing in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. As we lift up the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, atmospheres begin to change that is around us. When it looked hopeless, all of a sudden there is hope because Jesus steps into our circumstances and takes the bad, begins to turn it around for His glory so that we can be free and delivered and can walk into Him and the way He's calling us to walk. The name of Jesus is above every name. And you see, as we lift up the name of Jesus, we're not battling anymore because Jesus has stepped in with us. He's got the sword drawn and He's ready to do battle with us because the Lord says the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. The powerful name of Jesus. You see, in days gone by, we can look at Israel and see how they were postured. In the past, they had vitality and vigor. Everywhere you turn, they were filled with the expectancy of God. What is God going to do today? It's like when Pastor Marge and I had visited Israel, they said, you know, it's great here because in America, it's a long distance call to Israel. But here, it's a local call. Because God lives here. You see, you understand that in Israel, at that time, they were enjoying the presence of God. They lived with the expectancy of what God was about to do. I can say to you that at Shiloh, it used to be that way. It used to be when we came to church, we came with an expectancy. But sometimes we walk in and we say, well, it's just church again. I assure you that once you get postured and get a change in your mindset that this is the kingdom of God, it is not the kingdom of this world, that God's going to begin to step in some new presidences, and all of a sudden things are going to turn around, and what you thought couldn't be broken loose is going to be broken loose by the power and the name of Jesus. See, Israel got that way. They knew what the power was like. They knew what the presence of God was like. But something changed. They lost their enthusiasm. They lost their expectation. Because they began to think like the world thought. What causes the fall of men and nations is when the Word of God is pushed aside. We have no more need for it because the world has the answers. I assure you today, the world does not have the answers. You don't believe me? Look at all the governments that have fallen because they've got their eyes off of the Lord. Look at us as individuals that have fallen because we've got our eyes off of the Word of God and got our eyes off of the Lord. We need the power. We need the presence. We need to have the expectancy of God in hearts and lives in this house. John 2:16 says this, our foolish pride comes from this world. And so do our selfish desires. And our desire to have everything that we see. None of this comes from God. So what happened was they compromised. Compromised to please people. In our own lives, we can do the same thing. We can compromise just so we make other people feel comfortable. I assure you, the kingdom of God is not about comfort. It's about change. It's about God wanting to step in on your circumstances and take some stuff and turn it around. If you're sick of your cancer and your disease and your way of life, I tell you what, God is more disgusted with it than you are. When you get really disgusted about it all, you're going to begin to pray different. You're going to begin to praise different. You're going to begin to tell people about it differently. You're going to begin to confess that Jesus is the Lord over it. All of a sudden, He's going to step in, and it's going to be changed in the moment that He touches you. They needed a fresh breath of God on them. I need that. You need that. We all need that. Sometimes we just make excuses. But I tell you, God already has a way of escape. We make excuses like, it's not the way it used to be. So what? You're not the way you used to be either. I remember when you used to pray. I remember when you used to worship. I remember when you used to lay hands on people at the altar. I remember when you used to call people on the phone and talk to them because they could be different. Don't talk about the church changing because you changed. So now there needs to be a new attitude in our hearts that we get changed by the Spirit of God, because you only get changed in His presence. When you get in His presence, you'll be changed for the good, and you'll be turned around, and all of a sudden you'll receive a fresh anointing in your life like you've never had before. We need that fresh anointing. We need a breakthrough. You can say, this is not the, it's not the way that it was like the church I came from. I assure you, it wasn't like this in my church either. But I tell you, if we're going to pursue God and all that He has, He's going to mess up your life. He's going to step in and make a difference where you are. You can say, I don't feel like I fit in. Well, I think you fit in pretty good. Everybody's in the house at one time. John says it's from whom the whole body is fit together by what that which every joint supplies by the upbuilding of itself of the body in love. In this house, you're loved. Find a place to get connected. We got a lot of people in this house that can get you connected pretty quick. If you don't know where to start, start with Pastor Jim over here. He can put you busy praying. If you don't know where else to start, grab one of these people running around with white shirts and ties. And say, I love what you're doing. I'd love to be an usher. We'll get you fitted right in. I don't feel the Spirit of God. Well, if you're not feeling the Spirit of God today, I would say your wood is wet. So you need to push into the presence of God. I feel hopeless. And my joy is all gone. You know, as I was writing these things down, it reminded me of Lucifer. Because it becomes all me-centered. Because in Isaiah 14, he said, I will, I will, I will. Somewhere along the way, Christianity has taught us values that have caused our focus to be off. When it becomes all about us, we're setting ourselves up for ultimate defeat. I failed. I couldn't accomplish it. I couldn't graduate from college. I couldn't complete my marriage. Because any of that, you cannot make it happen. You get God outside of the equation. And all of a sudden, nothing makes sense anymore. When it becomes all about God, Him, and His kingdom. You see, even in church, sometimes things have gotten off because we're no longer about the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're about my kingdom, my car, my money, my house, my kids. You got the picture. But see, when we got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would hope all of a sudden that kingdoms have changed. Because we need to posture not towards defeat, but towards victory. You see, Isaiah 37, 1 through 10 tells us what Ezekiel was looking at. Said he was caught up in the Spirit, and the Lord took him up and had him to look into the valley. He thought at first glance, man, this is impossible. All he saw was death and devastation. I don't know, in Arizona it gets pretty hot, but I don't know. He was looking in the valley of dry bones. Who knows how long those bones had been there? But you know what Arizona heat does to carcasses that are dead. Stench everywhere. But it says that he was caught up in the spirit and it was very dry and the heat had begun to decay and pull the flesh off of the bones. In fact, he said, all they saw was defeat. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. When he looked upon the bones, I'm just wondering. Here you are caught up in the spirit and looking down. Who knows what all those skeletons really were? Could he have saw people that were to be? Let's bring it home to where we are. Could he have seen dead ushers, children's church workers, prophets, pastors, evangelists that were to be? Any ministry that you want to name that is should be active in the church and should be filled up, because as people of Shiloh, we're going to be kingdom-minded and not me-minded. Because in that we begin to become connected. But as he looked, he saw missionaries that were to be, dancers that were to be, worshipers that were to be, cleaning crew that was to be, armor-bearers that were to be, prayer warriors that were to be, maintenance people, greeters, those called to the ministry. But for some reason, had just died. Dead. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord, he said, commanded him to prophesy. Prophesy, hear the word of the Lord. Word prophesy also means to preach. See, we can begin to say, ushers, come to life. Children workers, come forth. Evangelists, raise up. Missionaries, come forth. Worshipers, come forth and praise the Lord. Armor bearers, come forth. Prayer warriors, intercede for the kingdom of God. But as you speak the word of the Lord, only what's going to be accomplished is the word of God. Because he said, my word will not return void, but it will accomplish the very purpose for which it was sent. We need all of those in the house of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Not what we know. But the word of God in Hebrews 4:12 says is active, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the flesh. Now, if we can get the flesh out of the way, the spirit will be activated. Because God's more willing to be alive in this house than you know. He was commanded to pray. Said, breathe on these slain so they can live. He looked down, you see, they may look alive, but they're dead. What they needed was a touch from God. I was talking to a young girl the other day and was talking about ages, and I've got... my mother's 93. I've got an aunt who's 104. And she said, well, I've got a grandma who's 96. And I said, what does she attribute her long life to? She said, she just keeps moving. Now, sometimes in life and in church, we stop. We've got to be on the move to be about what God wants us to do. You see, as he looked, he spoke the word of the Lord. He commanded them. And when he commanded them, they were activated. They stood up on their feet. Now, here's what happened. They looked dead. They looked dried up. Their clothes were off of them. But all of a sudden, when the word of the Lord came into the situation and they stood up, they were different. They were now standing, but they had no breath in them. But they stood up. Now, is that like most of us? We may be standing up with no breath. But what God is wanting to do today is bring a fresh breath of His Spirit that will come into you. Just let Him breathe into you. But see, when they stood up, they became transformed and became a mighty army. Ezekiel's vision was not for himself. It was about the whole nation of Israel. Certainly, much like America. America was founded on strong spiritual roots, but has turned and left its first love. We've got to be people pleasers rather than God pleasers. There needs to be a spiritual awakening in America. There needs to be a spiritual awakening in America. But before that spiritual awakening can happen in America, it has to be again right here in my heart and my life and my home and my church. Spiritual awakening. We need a fresh touch from God for ourselves. Don't need it for your husband or your wife or your family. They need it, believe me. But let's start with you. Let's start with me. And if we will start with a spiritual awakening for ourselves, then everything else is going to fall in line. You pray for the nation to be changed. How about the city of Sierra Vista? What are you doing and knocking on doors to get people to come into the kingdom of God? You see, there has to be an awakening in our hearts so that we begin to be activated to do what God's called us to do, because it's not been about our kingdom, it's been about His kingdom and souls that will come in because of what we do. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering. No second guess and allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted. A breath of fresh air. In this squalid and polluted society, provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light, giving message, into the night, so I have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You will be living proof that I didn't go to do all this work for nothing. I asked you today, do you need a fresh breath of air? A breath of fresh air is the atmosphere where it's been stifling, and then all of a sudden, it's fresh, uncontaminated. Edwin Hatch, songwriter, said, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love as you have loved and do as you would do. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill my heart's desire until this earthly part of me glows with holy fire." I believe for us, we need to catch a second wind. When you're saved, could be your first wind. Somehow we have let that die down. The Runner's Free Press says this: "Runners describe the feeling of a second wind as one of increased confidence, improved performance, and less strenuous breathing. Often, just as they are starting to feel overwhelmed and fatigued, then the second wind comes." One of my favorite movies in days gone by, Chariots of Fire. It's an oldie but a goodie. In this movie, missionary and Scottish athlete Eric Liddell says, "God made me to be fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." You see, as we run for God and do what he's called us to do, it gives him pleasure because we're doing what he's called us to do. We need to be new again. Surrender to the Lord and allow him to just give you a fresh breath of his spirit. And you may say, in all of this, how do we do it? First thing I would say is be fervent in prayer. Priscilla Shire says this. She says, "Fervent is hands on, knees down, don't give up action to practical, purposeful, intentful praying." That's fervent. Push. Pray until something happens. We need to pray with hope. We need to pray with expectancy. Have a renewed passion for God. This is my definition: an intentional love that is directed towards knowing God and flows out as we serve in passion and touching others around us. This within itself can become a contagious flame that lights the fire of others around us. Jesus said, "John, do you love me more than these?" That's in John 21. Passion for God is loving God more than anything else. God is number one. God is number one. As Christians, we cannot be a part-time Christian because Jesus is not a part-time Savior. Let me say it again. As Christians, we cannot be part-time Christian because Jesus is not a part-time Savior. Matthew 22:37-40 says, "Love the Lord your God, all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." We need to become kingdom-minded. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first," not second, third, fourth. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." It's not about me and my kingdom. It's about Him and His kingdom. We need to have a spiritual reset. When we receive the Lord into our lives, we switch kingdoms. Dark to light. Kingdom of the world to the kingdom of our God. We need to begin today to think kingdom. We need to work kingdom. We need to speak kingdom. We need to believe kingdom. We need to worship kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Now wait a minute. In earth. In earth. In earth. And the earth that you are. Lord, your kingdom come in this earth. Lord, your will be done in this earth. And as we begin to pray those prayers, His kingdom will come where you are. Run with God and for God. We need today to catch our second wind. Catch the wind of the Spirit. You will be swift doing all that God has called you to do. Then you will live with passion for God, for your church, and your family. You will then begin to sense and pleasure God in your life, as Eric did. I want to ask the worship team to come. Need to remember that He is worthy of it all. Revelation 5:12 says this. I want us to say this together. It should be up on the screen. Worthy, worthy, let's say it. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let's stand to our feet.